This is the, of course, last Legislative Centennial Commission. Our plan was to let folks know what's going on and how plans are progressing for the, for all the events. We have with us Representative Munoz and Representative Stoltz, myself Stevens, and lots of staff folks, just to bring us forward on what's going on and what's going to happen. Tim, would you and Pam come up and just tell us how things are going?
So thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Tim Lampkin, staff of Senator Stevens. A lot of fun and exciting events that we've been putting together, Mr. Chairman. Starting off, you have before you a program that's been drafted. This is just the text version. We will be making this pretty and with nicer layout and so forth, but we wanted to get something out there so folks knew that there was a program that's being developed. I've got an impressive list of folks that are have accepted the invitation to come and talk to, on these panels that are listed in that program, to include Dr. Beverly Beaton, for starters. She is the self-proclaimed expert on this very particular event, and that being the 1913 Alaska Legislature, as well as specifically the Women's Suffrage Act. So she's going to be giving us a presentation.
Any sarcasm or message in self-proclaimed
almost sounds. Well, let me see. I know Dr. Beaton. She's a well-known historian and was a chancellor of the University of Alaska Anchorage, and she may be self-proclaimed, but she is also
acclaimed.
Acclaimed, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know. He's a very sarcastic guy. But I just wanted to make sure. I'm sorry. Yeah.
But no, that's great. I'm glad that. And is that all secure then, Tim? That Beverly Beaton is going to be here. And
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. We have, and I was going to go through the list of names with you, and they have all accepted.
Okay. Go ahead and continue. Well, yeah.
For the record, Dr. Beaton did declare herself as the world expert, quoting, world expert on this particular issue.
We can go around the room and see what we're the world experts on. It must be something that we can share.
So that should be a really interesting presentation. That'll be Monday night prior to the enactment that we've been discussing.
We have Senator Hoffman with us. Speaking of historical artifacts, we're pleased to, pleased that you'd be with us as well. Senator Hoffman, we're just going through the just an update on what's been happening and what's going to be taking place here, and Tim is going through some of the list of speakers.
So we've confirmed with, of course, Dr. Cole. He's going to serve as a moderator and contribute to some of the panel discussions. At the end there, you'll see the last event at the repeated request of Senator Halford. He was interested in a discussion on prohibition in early Alaska, so we were going to wrap things up with a happy hour at the end on the subject of prohibition. And then I'll list the rest of them as former legislators in alphabetical order. We've got Sam Cotton coming, Betty Davis, Willie Hensley, Terry Gardner, Senator Rick Halford, Katie Hurley, Emil Noddy, Georgiana Lincoln, Drew Pierce, Gail Phillips, Randy Phillips, Bill Ray, John Sackett, Arlis Sturgulewski, and Clem Tillian. That makes up the component of all of the folks that are going to come and talk in various components in our program.
Right. You would have somebody that I didn't serve with. I
yeah. No one's alive that you didn't serve with, I'm afraid.
People in most of the homes, their memories are getting a little faultier.
Right, right. Well, that's a great list, Tim. And those are all committed, and they will be here.
Good. Committed is obligated?
That's obligated, right.
I'm sorry.
I have a question.
Yes,
please. Are all of the events going to take place at the Elsall?
Through the chair, Representative Munoz, that's correct. That was the point from the beginning, was to commemorate the fact that that's the actual building that they met in.
Right.
So we're going to try to use that space as thoroughly as possible.
So three-day event, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Great. Are you going to go through some of those through the...
I'm prepared to at this
good,
time.
Good, please do.
Okay, so we were thinking of starting things off at 10 a.m. on Sunday the 3rd with a breakfast program. They commonly serve brunch there at the Rockwell. On the weekends, it's called Costa's Diner, and call it Waffles with Wickersham. To kick it off with an explanation from a local gentleman, Mr. John Venables, who has done that presentation a number of times locally to classrooms, among other events, is my understanding. So just to help present to the public the struggle that Alaska went through to get home rule in the first place. And Wickersham was a key figure in that struggle. So we would transition from there to a lunch program. It was pointed out to us, and we're very interested in highlighting the Alaska Native community and their role, and some leaders from that community and their involvement in our political history. So we've assembled that panel there of Willie Hensley, Senator Lincoln, Sackett, and Emil. Although Mr. Noddy was not a former legislator, he was a key player in major Native Alaskan issues over the years, continues to be. Then that afternoon would be the official kickoff with yourself. We've got confirmed the Lieutenant Governor to speak. The Governor Parnell has been invited, have not yet got a confirmation that he'll be available to give her some opening comments. And then launch it off with all of the legislators that are coming into town, not just the ones I've named, but we have contacted former Senator Mike Seismansky, who has the fossils database, and it was an instrumental tool for me that he gave me quite some time ago to help disseminate the word. And so there are a lot of former legislators coming into town to participate in this event. I don't know all of them that are coming. They haven't necessarily RSVP'd to me directly, but when I have discussion panels about oral histories and memories of retired legislators, that will be a format of having Senator Cotillion and Gardner as House and Senate counterparts back then to be the moderators to help control the ring, if you will.
That's going to be fun, isn't it?
Yeah. So we intentionally not put a lot of rules or parameters around this event because, frankly, it'd be difficult to make them follow those rules, first of all. But secondly, just want this to be an organic piece and let those two launch a discussion or launch a series of stories and just then have a microphone and the tables and just let them pass it around and see what happens.
Right.
We'll be recording this, of course, and so it will be a complement to the oral history projects that I'm working on the side here.
Perfect form to rewrite history.
Yeah. Well, that's the record of what happened.
Yeah. Yeah. So that would wrap up our Sunday evening. Monday is perhaps the main event is coming up on Monday. So we'd like to start off with we've proposed that Mr. Wayne Jensen, local architect who's been substantially involved in work over the years with the Capitol building, he's got the original drafts or the blueprints of the building itself, and we've talked about him giving a presentation on that matter, the history of the Capitol building itself. That is an option, of course. There's one other program I should mention at this time that we're interested in having a short presentation, a similar format, and breakfast or lunch, of the chief clerk and the Senate secretaries to give a history of those roles and the figures that have served in those roles over the years and the importance of those two roles. That's sort of an optional program that we could plug in here if there's not enough interest in the Capitol building history. So then the noon lunch program, of course, this whole theme is over the first act of the legislature and women's suffrage, so it seems appropriate and natural that we would invite some key women legislators that have played significant roles in our political history, and those folks are listed as Senator Sturgiolowski, Senator Pierce, Katie Hurley, and Betty Davis currently. That should prove really interesting. So there's quite a range of history there, from the early days of Katie Hurley being Constitutional Convention to right up into the 90s and early 2000s. So then 5 p.m. that evening would be our reception, and that's where Dr. Beaton comes in. That'll be upstairs in the main banquet hall. And by the way, we are endeavoring to, if you've noticed those big pictures that are right out here in the hallway of the original House and Senate, those old photographs there, we're doing our best to replicate that scene with the flags and the old furniture. We've acquiesced some furniture to borrow from the Wickersham House up the hill. We're going to carefully load those desks and chairs into that space, so we'll have the actual antique furniture installed, and there'll be a platform there, a speaker's podium, Speaker of the House, that from which Dr. Beaton will give her presentation. We'll have TVs off to the side for images that will be introduced and so forth throughout the program, and that will segue in a reception format, supposed to be relaxed and informal. Excuse me. To a sit-down dinner program. So we'll segue from her presentation, question and answer period, to a dinner program where I've been working diligently to, and I have to impress upon you the difficulty of actually writing a script for this reenactment. We started off with about 7 pages as a draft, and I got a hold of it, and it's now 30 pages to truly attempt to reenact the actual convening of that first session, including a presentation of the colors, an invocation, a singing of an anthem, My Country Tis of Thee. At that time, we didn't have a national anthem, not officially, but My Country Tis of Thee was one commonly sung, so that was the one I picked. By figures, for example, the presentation of the colors would be by Mr. Richardson. Basically in the first name now, but Richardson Highway. He was a War Commission, Rhodes Commission commander. He was a big military figure at the time, so it's appropriate that he lead the Pledge of Allegiance.
Is that Wiles Richardson?
That's it, Wiles.
Yeah, Wiles Richardson, yeah.
I just, one suggestion.
Yes.
Mr. Lampkin is a very talented writer. He's writing a historical script, not a legislative skit script.
Absolutely not.
Okay. No, we don't acknowledge the skits in this room, so.
I don't know what you're talking about. No, this would be, it's a very serious piece. In fact, to us in the building, it might even come across a bit dry because it is very formal. And I do have the script developed that they go through a speaker pro tem and election of the speaker and escorting them to the podium and so forth. And then they go into the Committee on Committees report that we then transition to days go by, lights down. Now it's March 12th, lights back up, and their first reading of the House Bill 2, the Women's Suffrage Bill. And they go through the first reading and the second reading and the third reading. And there's one gentleman in particular, Representative Ingersoll, that was not outright opposed to it, but he dug his heels in wherever he could procedurally to slow it down through the process. So I have that reenacted because it's right there in plain view in the journals that was what was taking place. So the hardest part was to develop the actual dialogue. That was the difficulty. But I feel I have accomplished that. We have a troop of actors coming from Perseverance Theater. We will be moving into the space and actually rehearsing that at least a few times. I wouldn't expect them to be off script, but I think we're generally forgiving with that. And it should be a really interesting enactment.
Yeah, and they are going to be reading the script, not memorizing it, and moving through it as a presentation. I think it's going to be fascinating, really interesting. Yeah.
We have arranged for the media to be there. Gavel's interested. It will be recorded and for our archives and so forth.
Okay, great. Yes, Kathy.
Did the territorial governor address the first legislature?
The chair was doing no.
They did not.
Right away, there was a message from the governor. It was the surveyor general that was the one that called them to order and brought them together. The governor, within the first hour or so, interrupted their business as they were trying to organize and sent in a note for a joint session. So he did address them that evening in a joint session, but not right off the bat as they were organized.
Okay, so that's Monday.
That concludes Monday.
All right, let's go on to Tuesday.
And Tuesday, in the space, and this would be then downstairs currently, we have another breakfast program where we're thinking of having something more Juno-centric, and therefore invited Representative Clark Gruning and Mike Miller, local well-known legislators, to come and talk about the history of the politics in the capital city. That one is not necessarily confirmed. That might be where we might instead insert the House chief clerk and the history of the Senate secretaries instead, maybe. Happy to accept suggestions from you. That would segue then, and again, it'd be the same format where we have lots of legislators there, and those two, Gruning and Miller, would serve as moderators and would invite the audience and folks there to contribute to the conversation and dialogue. Lunch then would be a fun one as well because we have two folks, Senator Cotton and Representative Cotton.
He did both.
Okay. And Senator Phillips, who historically were somewhat of adversaries, I suppose I could say, but that would demonstrate looking there for ways that they found compromise over the years, which is a fundamental characteristic of the legislature, finding compromise. And they've got a really fun story, for example, about how they figured out how to name a bridge in the Eagle River area. I'll let them tell the story, but that was a good example.
I was in the middle of that.
Yeah. It was a good example of reaching across the aisle and finding compromise and communicating, working together despite your political philosophies. And so that would be another instance where we have a large audience of former legislators sharing those types of stories, how they work things out.
Right.
Educationally, I think it's really fitting for the occasion and for our classrooms and so forth. Then finally, at 5 p.m. is the happy hour with Dr. Cole as the moderator and Senator Halford. Senator Halford requested at least twice in my notes to have something to do with prohibition, and so we thought we'd cutely call it happy hour and talk on that subject. And that would be a wrap. We'd have you or someone give some closing comments, and there we are.
Very good. Well, thank you, Tim. Enormous amount of work you put into this, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Could you help us understand, for the members here present, how we're paying for all this and what the responsibility will be of those folks who are here to pay for their own meals and all that?
Sure.
Just so folks know that this is not what it is. Yeah.
Certainly. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I have taken the council or, you know, directives of the commission very close to heart, and we've been very concerned about spending any money on any sort of party planning. Not much has been spent at all. This event will be ticketed, or especially the dinner, the Monday night dinner. The owner of Rockwell is picking up the great amount of the expense of this effort, because she's the one that stands to make money. From her perspective, she's trying to make money. So
sure.
Folks will be paying for their own tabs or their own tickets to get into the event. Those monies go to the owner. We have been offered assistance from the Alaska Committee, the chamber, I believe, and all the folks that compose of that Alaska Committee that are willing to help pay for some of these things. These receptions, there was one or two, and I'll have to turn it over to Pam maybe to specify which ones that we might pick up the tab for, but very interesting amount of money that we are contributing for any sort of party. But again, we're trying to build a program here that is of just a genuine educational value. So any money spent should be justified.
Sure. Okay. Any questions on that or on any other issue to this point? I think it's going to be enormous, enormous fun. I hope that our legislators will be here for the whole thing, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and I think it's a great plan.
The one thing that I can say that we are spending money on is I was obliged to offer all of our guest speakers and the panelists to pay for their air ticket down from Anchorage, most typically from Anchorage, a night or two of a hotel. But I didn't feel it was unreasonable to do that, considering we were asking them to come. So.
Certainly. The Perseverance Theater folks that will be performing, just so you'll know that I happened to walk past Tim's desk when he was talking to them and said that there will be a bar, but you cannot use it until after performance, so hopefully they will be totally sober when they present.
The only recompense that the actors are requesting is just simply to feed them, and I think that's the reason.
Senator Hoffman has to leave. No questions you have?
No questions.
Okay, thanks for being here. It's
great job.
Should be pretty exciting.
Thank you.
Okay, you have to leave as well?
No.
Okay.
Can I quickly make sure they have a copy of that? That is the...
Yeah, you know, before you go, Senator Hoffman, you would like us, Pam, to look through that and make sure that each year is reasonably correct?
If you want to look at the summaries, maybe the last 10 years, in case you want to put some input in there.
Why don't we go ahead to this issue, and Pam, this is what it looks somewhat this size. It will be this size.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Pam Barney. I'm Executive Director of the Legislative Affairs Agency, and this has been a group effort by a lot of different sections in the agency. We're in draft form right now for the roster of members. It's very labor-intensive to... with all the formatting and the pictures and the
summaries from 1913 until the 27th legislature is where we will be ending for this roster of members. We were hoping to look at having it ready by March 3rd. It might be just a little bit after that. We certainly don't want to go to print without having a picture for one of the territorial legislatures or one of the state legislatures. We are missing pictures for a number of the presiding officers. We've made a comment in there that we're missing the picture, and if someone finds it, to contact our webmaster, and we'll have that information also out there on the web. We definitely, regarding the website, will be able to launch on March 3rd, and you can make that announcement. And I would think that probably in the invitation that your office sends out regarding these activities, that link can be there so that people, you know, realize that that is out there.
But let's just talk about that for just a second. So we've got the website that will definitely be launched on March 3rd, and we've got the program occurring the 3rd, 4th, and 5th. And I think that's the, I hope that everyone agrees it's the right approach to take. Let's make sure that we get the roster right. And if it doesn't come out till after March 3rd, that doesn't bother me at all. And is that okay with you guys?
It would be nice to really get some input. I will look at mailing this to the out-of-town commission members. And if there's any corrections or comments, I will direct those to Senator Stevens' office to let us know, yes, he agrees with, you know, changing something or editing to, you know, completely change something. But I'd like to get sign-off from you, Mr. Chairman, that we've got enough input from the commission members that they're happy with the summaries, and before we have our print shop print this.
Okay. Yes, Representative Stoltz.
A question on the highlights of the given legislation. What was the source of that? Who compiled those?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Stoltz, I'll try to answer that the best I can. It was our research, and legal started out, but it was our research section, and I'm not sure what sources they identified to come up with these summaries, but I can get back with you on that.
I would have suggested, if you wanted to look at 78 through 80, ask Clem Tillion, what were the big three issues? I would ask Sam Cotton and Tim Kelly, mm-hmm. Well, Tim mm-hmm. Kelly's passed away. Over the issues, or the finance chairman of a given period, I think they would have a much more accurate assessment of what the issues were. And I don't, and the folks doing, I think it's a good effort. At, on the 12th legislature, I may not be the brightest point. The first member of the legislature was expelled. I mean, that's a significant historical thing, not the most flattering thing.
That was on the 12th legislature?
I mean, I'm just throwing that as an uh-huh. example. That's a page that doesn't have any narrative on there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The capital move was put on the ballot. That dominated the state agenda for a couple-year period. I mean, that overwhelmed every other issue. I think 89 to 90, I wouldn't call the Whistleblower Act the most memorable period of that. I think there were more significant issues. If you were to talk to folks that were here at that time, they would probably. But I'm not being critical without a focus. I hope. But I think the folks that are trying to assess this from a research point, or okay, what's the newspaper say? It doesn't really reflect what the values, the point important issues were necessarily. And I think. We're missing a tap. Szymanski could probably tell you, hey, what was the issue? He would probably tell you elf tax that dominated and how that permutated. The Exxon Valdez probably, I don't think anybody would say, yeah, it was a whistleblower act. That was the most significant thing of the 16th legislature.
Right.
And again, I'm not being critical without a focus or probably hopefully with a constructive intent.
Well, I appreciate that. And I think one of the issues that the famous Ms. Varney's trying to do is to make sure that we get this in the hands of as many people as possible to get information back to us to try to make sure that it is correct. And in fact, maybe we should talk about that if we need a little more time to make sure it is accurate, I see nothing wrong with taking that time.
Oh, there's nothing. I don't think there's anything in here. This is accurate information.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's...
Or maybe to be as complete as it should be.
As complete or really representative of what the real issues were. If I were to go out to the Cape there and asked about, hey, what's going on in Kodiak, I'd hear just about rocket launches. I wouldn't hear a lot about fishing or the Russian Orthodox churches the history. I mean, that would be the perspective I got. Just depends on who you ask.
Right. Well, the goal is to flesh this out as much as we can in the time we have. And honestly, the time we have is what we decide. You know, if we decide that there is more time needs to be taken, that's something we can decide.
Well,
Jim, a comment on that?
Mr. Chairman, yeah, just so you know, I'm fairly certain that the basis of these summaries are directly from the session laws of those respective legislatures. So they went in and looked at what did they pass, but that would skip over what are the things that they tried to take up but didn't pass, which I think Representative Stoltz is alluding
to.
The
most important thing we do.
I would say subsistence raged as a drama for multiple sessions. How many special sessions do we have? There's some things that are going to be less flattering to talk about, but the history of the legislature would be incomplete without recognizing.
Sure.
We know some of the things that we'd rather not talk about. They are part of our competitive history, good and bad.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman, so we do have three summaries that are not in here, and that research, I mean, with session going on, a very busy time, we will get those to you, okay? But it would be nice to get some feedback and deadline from the commission members, too. And this is done on Microsoft Publisher. I mean, there's a file for every page. It's not like I can send it to you electronically since it's so big with all the pictures and everything. So that's why you see it in hard copy. So.
Good. And Pam, will we be getting this to those absent members, Cole and Tillian and
yes,
Alfred?
Yes, I'm going to email them and find out what address they would like it sent to.
Okay. And who's with us? Is that Rick Halford?
No, Gary, that's Terrence Cole in Fairbanks. I've been listening, so I didn't want to invite in.
Well, thanks, Terrence. Glad to have you with us. And we'll be getting this draft of the roster to you so you can look through it and see what you think. It's very big. What is it?
Oh, yeah.
How many pages? 100 or so?
200.
200 pages? Yeah, very, very nice.
Senator Stevens?
I just want to say, Gary, what I think, Tim has done, I think, an amazing job in an incredible short period of time. It's just really awesome to me. So this is very exciting. And, you know, and the whole staff there, I just think they've really obviously put a lot of energy into this. So I think it's wonderful.
Thanks, Terrence. I agree with you. Absolutely true. And it is just going to be fun. You know, as I look at this, those 3 days are going to be just a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. I could
Representative Stoltz.
I would think we know which date each legislature ended by a roster of members has a start and end date. I think the front page, the subsequent day in the Daily News and the Juneau Empire is going to list the big issues, what happened and what didn't happen in the legislature. And, you know, there's enough as to break that down. I'd be happy to pick, 10 years of doing that out through my end. It's not fair to say Tim discharged these duties. I'm between myself. I love doing that. I'd probably get too distracted on looking at that. But
it might be good to distract you from the budget right now and get you going on this. But we'd love to have anyone participate, particularly the legislators, if you have.
If we knew how to. Break out, I could tell Tim, hey, I'd be happy to dig out a couple of years and look at some of the years. I've worked here for now a period of about 30 years, 31 years, I think.
Well, that's a very good point, and I've done extensive research on the first state legislature, so I'll spend some time on that as well. So, and thank you, and you have family involvement in some of these, so good, thank you.
One other comment. did a markup on the cover just a little differently from the one that I passed out. Instead of having the seal up there, I have our logo. Mm-hmm. And I think it looks better having the logo up there instead of the seal. So I kind of wanted to see what the commission members thought. Is that okay if we not put the seal on the front and have the logo up in the corner instead? Mm-hmm. Instead of down on the bottom right?
I'm really happy with the logo. I think it's nice. It was sort of a committee decision to do the colors, and it looks great. I guess my only question, Ms. Marty, and entirely up to you, it seems a little more balanced if we have something at the top and bottom and maybe nothing there.
Nothing there.
But would you just, you decide what you think of that.
All right. I just think the seal didn't look...
the seal is... I don't mind the seal going away, but you might think about whether you want to move that.
Bottom. Okay.
Your decision, I think.
This is a great picture. That's the angle there. That is the most magnificent dome that any Capitol building has right now.
You're right.
Only one.
It's a wonderful dome. Yeah. Yeah.
That's very true.
Otherwise, it looks like maybe an old cracker factory or something.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
There's one project that if Representative Stoltz would like to help contribute with, and that is, I presented at our last meeting that poster, the timeline poster that had all the names listed on it and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And it had a timeline, and so the goal was to take each decade, so 1910s, 1920s, 1930s, and within each one of those decades to pick, say, five major things and have a bubble that would go up to explain what that was. And that's the hard part, is deciding which key events during that decade to highlight and bring out.
So right. We have the list. You have the list of things, but it's determine which are the key ones.
The draft that I showed you just had 10. I had picked one event in mm-hmm. those 10 years, and I don't think anyone objected that that was worth to keep in there, but this is going to be a large poster that we'll put in classrooms.
Right.
It'd be great if I could have help picking, say, 5 or 10 events in each one of those decades.
We're better at criticizing and rejecting than we are picking.
Representative Jones, would you mind working with Tim on
no,
that?
No, I would. This is a labor of love for me.
Good. Thank you.
Yes. Stevens, I have a number of photos, family photos from the legislative sessions in the 1940s and 1950s, and I'd be happy to share some of those with you if you thought they might be useful. And then the other comment I had was on the pictures of the presiding officers. If you do not find the pictures, I would suggest that we do away with the empty box. I'm sure you're planning to do that, but you know, it looks as if we, you know, we're missing in action or something there.
I think we just put Bill Stoltz's picture in all of the vacancies and.
There's already enough rumor about some of my satanic origins.
I think if we don't put anything in there, though, they're going to wonder, and that's why we say missing photo if found. I mean, because then they realize that we don't have a photo for them.
During the draft. So,
in the draft, but I think in the final, you should do away with the missing photo.
And just have it blank as
no,
if
just
we
have the name of the
photo?
Presiding.
We
the name
get
of
a
the presiding
made
office.
Milk box and
the name of the officer, and not a missing photo box. You know, it doesn't. It looks incomplete to me. But it
will really look incomplete if I have a picture of one and then just something blank as if I forgot to put the photo in. Do you know what I mean? So I mean,
but
just
you
want it just completely blank.
I'm just saying, visually,
you could
have the name of the presiding officer in the title, and then maybe subtly underneath the name, photo not available. But you don't want a big blank box with missing photo. it just doesn't look very nice.
All right.
Mr. Chairman.
Let's see what we can do about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, FYI, this is also relevant to the website. That, you know, website is something that we can build on perpetually into the future.
Right.
And so at least would imagine that we're going to build on it over time as people see that there's a missing picture and we appeal to them, and then here's an email, and, oh, I've got that pic.
Yeah.
So that will help build
no,
on
I
it.
Think, yeah.
A bit more of a challenge than a printed version. I understand your point.
Right.
And before we move on too far, I want to make it real clear that I don't want to take too much credit that's undeserved, because there were a lot of people involved in this. especially this roster, that I had very little to do with this project. I may have helped in the beginning get it started, but the staff at Legislative Affairs have really taken off with this, and I really want to recognize them for the work they put in this roster.
Absolutely. Really appreciate all their efforts.
So, Representative Munoz, if you could get those pictures to me, because we're the ones that are working on the trying to fill in the pictures for over the years.
Yeah, okay. Chairman, the photos that I have are of the full body.
Right.
So, you know, it may not be consistent with your format, but you can certainly look at them and see if you can use them.
Sounds good.
We need to put from the Munoz family collection, the Angstrom family collection.
Okay.
So yes. Do you want me to talk about the decorations that we're going to do for the hall?
Yes, that'd be great.
Okay. So, like Tim had mentioned earlier, we're trying to, on the upstairs of Rockwell's, do the reenactment. And so we have purchased two very large U.S. flags. They're not the exact ones that are here, because actually these were the 46 stars, and in 1913 it really went to 47, but I thought that we could use these flags later on here at the Capitol building. So,
and these flags that we purchased have all the states. All
yes,
50.
It's the 50. It's right. the 50 sure. stars. And so we have two flags that are 10 by 15 that will be up on the stage, and maintenance will be going and helping us and supply. And so it's a really an agency effort to try and transform the hall. We also have in-house some of our Alaska little flags that we'll look at doing some table decorations with, probably just some small flowers on the tables for the dinner.
Right.
So that will be an expense that we have. And then we also have this to go along the sides. And we have some bunting too, so we will be decorating the hall, and we will be using some of our tables and chairs that we have that we'll be bringing down there, besides the tables from the Wickersham, to assist with the tables that the Rockwells had. So. We'll also be doing a lot of our skirting and helping for the reception and the dinner to transform it. And then Curtis Clothier has done a slideshow from 1913 to kind of show some of the historical pictures, and then showing also on a loop some of the other slideshows that he's done over the years. And we're going to put one of our large screens up, but we thought it was going to take up too much room. But we do have a large 70-inch TV that we will put in the corner for that purpose. And I think Tim's going to use it for something that some of his slideshows also. So that will be up there.
Good, good.
So I think that's all I have to.
Well, thank you very much. That's the roster looks great. We'll keep working on it, and I think it's going to be a wonderful contribution to the history of Alaska to have this in a permanent book. It'll be hardcover, or
it'll be it's not going to be hardback. It will be printed by the print shop, but it'll have a cover stock on it. And it would be nice to list the commission members in the beginning, and probably have you do a foreword or something like that, and just some introductory pages. The roster of members has been a publication that the Legislative Affairs Agency has done over the years. Our LIO has done it, but it's never had pictures or gone into the in-depth that we're doing now.
Right.
So
this
will be a big publication for us.
Absolutely. Very nice. Anything further, Ms. Brown? Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Tim?
A report on the Oral Histories Project. I continue to do interviews. Most recently this week, I represented Ralph Samuels. I just sat down with this afternoon. Earlier this week, Senator Duncan comes to mind. That is continually growing. It's a lot of good material from those folks as we have these interviews. And I'm really looking forward to capturing our events, these panels, to contribute to that project.
So these interviews are camera and so video as well, I mean sound as well as pictures, and I think that's going to be a great, great thing to have. Very good. Okay, Tim, thank you. Anything further that we haven't talked about?
That's all I have for you, sir.
Comments, thoughts, questions, guys, from our standpoint?
Wonderful. Lots of work has gone into this. It really looks great. Thank you.
Yeah, a lot of work, and it looks to me it's just going to be a great, great time we should have while we're here. And Terrence, if you're still with us, can you tell us about your plans in Fairbanks?
Sure. Yeah. Thanks, Gary. Yeah. Well, we have essentially now are looking at 3 days. In some ways, it'll be quite a bit different, but a nice complement, I think, to what we're going to have in Juneau. The first night on Thursday, going to devote a session to journalists and the legislature. And so Mike Carey, Mike Dugan, and my brother Dermot are going to be on a panel. And those three always have something to say. So, and we'll have a journalism professor here be a moderator. On Friday,
it sounds like a mud wrestling contest. Are you sure? You can handle that, Terrence?
I was going to moderate it, but then I thought, well, I should let somebody else do that. So.
Well, what is the date again? It's that would be Thursday, and what would be the date?
22nd.
That's Thursday, and my calendar, and I think it's the 21st. Is that? Does anybody have a calendar there?
21st, and the month is. March.
Oh, March. Uh-huh. And let me just check and make sure. Thursday night, the 21st of March.
Perfect.
And then on Friday, the 22nd, Carol Murkowski, or Carol Sturgiluski, who has just written the history of the Governor's Mansion, I thought, well, that'd be interesting to invite her in a couple of different ways. But she's going to come and give a talk on her book on the White House of the North, and also sort of for our history students. I thought that would be interesting. And, you know, sort of her unique position being the sister of our senator the daughter of a senator and a governor. And then on Friday night, Willie Hensley is offered to give a talk, sort of a keynote speech about his sort of career in the legislature. Then on Saturday, we're envisioning 4 different panels, and that's still sort of a work in progress. We're still working on this, these couple of days. But we'd like to start off with a panel in the morning, Saturday morning, and this part of it at least would be in Signers Hall, where the Constitution was signed, and we have a kind of a good area. Oh, I just got the word that I lost my cell phone. Okay, thanks, Laura. let me see. In Signers Hall, where the Constitution was signed, and the only thing is, we're not sure how many folks might come, and so we're trying to figure. You know, we're not sure what kind of a venue, because on the one hand, a lot of people have expressed interest in the community, and I talked to the League of Women Voters last night. And they're actually very excited about this, for a variety of reasons. And I also told them what was going on in Juneau as best I knew. But anyway, on Saturday, we'd have at least one panel dedicated to the idea that we've sort of talked about the legislature and transparency, the legislature and representing the people. Another panel on the legislature and how to how do we deal with the one man, one vote law with our giant districts now? So in other words, how to have proper representation for the rural Alaska in particular. Another session on youth in the legislature. We thought having both Vic Fisher, who is one of the youngest members at the convention, and Jonathan Christ Tompkins, who is now the young representative down there, together would be kind of interesting at different stages in their lives, and maybe also John Sackett, but I didn't hear from him, sort of he didn't confirm yet. And then finally a session on the executive branch and the legislature. And we thought sort of all of these would be a little bit more academic in some ways, but a combination of former legislators, students, and some current legislators. So we're still sort of trying to figure this out, but one thing we certainly wanted to do was, when we get our program done, to make it at least to evoke elements of what the program looks like in Juneau, so you know, we have some kind of similarity in that sort of sense. And I think it will fit well sort of as a complement to what's going to happen down there.
Okay, great. Good to hear that, Terrence. Thank you so much for your contribution. Well, we have you here, Terrence. Any further comments or concerns about any of the issues we've talked about here?
I don't think so, other than that I really, like I said, I think that all the staff and the people in your office and the legislative affairs, I'm really impressed. It's really it's exciting that and for the other members of the commission, like Bill and others, to be excited in this. It's great to see people interested in history. You know, that's not always the case. You know, when I'm facing my students, sometimes that's not the case. So.
Yeah, I think it should be a wonderful few days. Representative Stoltz or Representative Munoz, any issues or concerns you have at this point, or suggestions?
I just wanted to make one announcement. On Saturday, March 30th, 10:30 to noon, Marie Darlin, who's here today, handed me a notice that the Gaspésie Channel Historical Society is putting on an event with a history presentation of all of the 34 legislators who've ever served Juneau and Douglas between the years of 1913 and 1959. So that I'll make an announcement as we get closer to that date, but it's on March 30th,
34,
noon, at the City Library. City Museum.
Very nice. Thank you. Uh-huh. Tim, remind me, how many legislators totally were we talking about? 800?
Mr. Chairman, 792.
792, almost 800. That's amazing.
You know, Gary, can I make one more question? Something just occurs to me.
Yeah, please.
You know, Tim, maybe someplace on a list that we would just say, oh, other events in the year, like the Gaspésie Channel, that could be listed somewhere. And because I know the Historical Society in Haines in September, next September, is going to have a session on the legislature as well. So maybe that would be something we could just say, other events around Alaska or something like that. I'm not sure what exactly, but just occurs to me that might be kind of a nice thing.
That would be, and it would be interesting, as you say. I mean, if Juneau is looking at recognizing their 34 legislators, it'd be interesting if other communities might want to do things, something like that, you know. Okay.
Our Historical Society is meeting tonight, actually. I'm going to a meeting tonight. I think I'll raise that with them, the local Panama Yukon, and just see if they're interested. And if so, Tim, I will get that information to you right away.
And we also have Vic Fisher doing something coming right up here in Juneau. That's a part of the 100 years as well. Tim?
Yeah. Senator Fisher was unable to join us on March 3rd, 4th, and 5th. Coincidentally, he's here in town tomorrow and Friday, so we decided we should take advantage of that, and hence we have a program tomorrow evening. That is a fine idea in our program, Dr. Cole, to have the other events that we are aware of at time of publishing anyway. I'm assuming there will be other events that come along, but we could certainly include that in our program.
Okay.
Good.
That's great.
Good idea. Yes.
In case I hadn't officially confirmed with Terrence, I am planning to be in Fairbanks on that. I hate to announce that I'm not going to be in town here so far in advance and let my adversaries plot against me, but I do plan to be there on the 21st or the 23rd, I believe.
Okay. That's great. No, thanks.
It's very dangerous, and all the bills may be moved out of your committee when you get back.
As an alumnus of this institution as well as UAF, it's a real honor to even be invited, along with Mr.
Okay.
Lampkin.
Thank you.
Great.
It should be great time had by all. Okay, thank you very much. If there's nothing further to come before us, Tim,
sir.
Kathy, Bill, thank you. We're adjourned.
Okay, thanks, everybody. Bye.
Good night, Terrence. Thanks.
Dr. Cole.
Sure.
So, Tim, I'm